Welcome to the Great Men of the Bible series, where we highlight the lives of the great men who came before us in faith. I'm your host, Joe Stopulis. In this episode, we will explore the life of St. Joseph with Devin Schad.
Devin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Joe.
You know, anytime I can get another Quad Cityan on here, we like to do that. That's good. Were you born and raised in the Quad Cities?
No.
Okay.
Nope, Chicago.
God's country later on in life. That's fine.
That's right. Right. That's converted.
Fine. That's good. Hey, listen, it's a great area. It's a great area to be. So I speak highly of the Quad Cities. I'm back quite a bit. So let's get to your relationship. Obviously, we'll get to St. Joseph in a bit and where he fits. So we just finished the Old Testament, John the Baptist, and now we're to St. Joseph. But you founded the Fathers of St. Joseph. When did you personally start getting attracted to St. Joseph?
Yes, so I think it was early 2000s, basically had kind of a life-changing experience in which my wife really wanted me to truly be a father and a husband, and I was really struggling with it. Went on a pilgrimage, a friend of mine took me on a pilgrimage actually to Medjugorje, and a woman there, I was struggling with everything, just struggling with my faith, my walk, what God wanted me to do with my life, and I was really languishing spiritually and pretty much emotionally. And, you know, I was talking to this woman who's leading our pilgrimage, and she asked me if I was married. I said, yes. She goes, do you have children? I said, yes, I have three. She said, go home and be Joseph. And I did not want to go home and be Joseph. I mean, like, from what I understood about Joseph from the stained glass windows was that this guy is old, really old, and he's bald, and he carries around lilies, and he's kind of out of the picture. And so I didn't really have much of an interest in St. Joseph at all. But that set me on a mission right there to figure out, who is this guy? Why is he important? And what does that mean for my life?
Well, that's a great start, because I think a lot of us had that similar upbringing with Joseph. I know I myself, again, the guy spoke zero words in Scripture. It's hard to get really attached to a person like that, and you always think, well, I got Jesus and Mary, who are obviously, you know, there's the old joke of if something went wrong in the Holy Family, you know whose fault it was St. Joseph's, because he's the only only one who sinned. And so I had all these, you know, that was always my thought, and the more I've come to know St. Joseph, similar to you, the more enriching it's been in my own life. So how did you then translate that from go home and be Joseph to actually getting to know him? What did you learn? How did you learn?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, not to get too overly spiritual here, but I was desperate. So I entrusted my life to Our Lady, Our Blessed Mother. I did St. Louis de Montfort's Total Consecration, the 33-day formula, and that's when things changed. Things radically changed in my life. I began to experience virtue in a way that I'd never experienced before, a strength, spiritual strength, Christ actually living in me in ways that I'd never experienced. But so basically, Our Lady really was the one who introduced me to her chaste husband, Joseph. And so what happened really for me was I would pray and beg God just to show me what authentic fatherhood is. Who is St. Joseph? Just please reveal this to me. And so I started just writing down what I was receiving in prayer. And this became a personal book and a personal project to me, in which I was writing to myself to capture a theology of fatherhood by comparing St. Joseph to the patriarchs, to, you know, you've got Abraham, Jacob, David, and Moses. These are the big four. And so I was trying to find Joseph, like they call it typology, where you find an Old Testament type and you find the fulfillment in the New Testament. And so I was trying to see if Joseph was a fulfillment, a type, or of the types of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, because they call St. Joseph Light of Patriarchs in the Litany. And then it was unbelievable. I just felt like I was on download through prayer over years. And so over about the course of, I don't know, maybe 4 years, I wrote four volumes of Joseph's Way, called The Fatherly Greatness. And that's when I began to really get to know this Joseph, who, yeah, he doesn't say a word in Scripture, and yet he's found in the Old Testament by these great patriarchs through their failures and successes directing us to him. And so that's just the journey there. That's how I encountered it.
So just before I forget and get lost on time, what are the names of the works that you've put together, and how can our listeners find them?
Sure. So the first works were called Joseph's Way, the Call to Fatherly Greatness, and there was four volumes originally. You can still find those four volumes on Amazon. So the first one is Prayer of Faith, which is a comparison of Joseph and Abraham. The second one was Prayer of Perseverance, which was Joseph and Jacob, the patriarch. The third one was Prayer of Meditation, which was Joseph and Moses, and then Prayer of a King, which was Joseph and David. And Ignatius Press, it's just a crazy story, but a friend of mine was reading, you know, just basically my manuscript, this book that I wrote to myself, but he passed it on to a publicist without telling me, who passed it on to Ignatius Press, and I didn't even know it. And Ignatius Press then contacted me.
Wow.
And said, we want to publish this book. And so they combined the first two volumes and actually distributed that into a single volume in Joseph's Way, 80 Days to Fatherly Greatness. The other two volumes are still sold singularly. But yeah, so that's those works there. There's other books, but that's Joseph's Way.
That's awesome. So as men living today, again, I think we look at the Bible, we look at the example of Joseph, and trying to piece out what can we learn from him as men living today? What can we learn as fathers to be God in our family?
Wow, that's a huge question. Yeah, so what can we learn from St. Joseph? I think we can learn a lot. I mean, a ton. I spent years, investigating this, researching this, praying over this, talking to St. Joseph about this, listening to God about this. But I think that one thing that we can learn that is so challenging for the modern man is that St. Joseph, his quality, his supreme quality, I think, which makes him so great, is that he was a hidden father. And what I mean by this is that it wasn't like he was like hidden, like in the sense that he was shy or he was reserved or that he was just like lame, like he wasn't really strong or anything like that. No. St. Joseph chose, as Colossians says in Colossians 3, to be hidden with God in Christ. Okay? So he chose not to glorify himself. And in that scripture passage, Colossians 3, to be hidden with God in Christ, St. Paul goes on to say, and then in the end, God in Christ will glorify you. So the point is that St. Joseph in his fatherhood was very hidden, and that's how he escaped Satan. That's how he protected the Holy Family. And here's a temptation for all of us. All of us desire significance. Significance is the entry point for all of us. Significance is like a handgun. It's morally neutral, okay? It's like a gun, you can kill your dinner or you can kill yourself, right? But the gun isn't bad, it's just how you use it. Significance is the same way. Significance is this desire, at least it's defined as to be worthy of importance or attention. And so a lot of times we want to be significant. We want to be worthy of attention, which is fine. We want to be worthy of importance in a good, godly way, that's fine. But Satan loves to warp that. And so then we look for the fans. We look for the followings. We look for the likes. We look for the ego trips and the people congratulating us and all this. And St. Joseph was completely the opposite. He just looked to glorify God. And this is the key. This is a supernatural law. Like, we've got laws in nature, like gravity. You jump off of a bridge, you're going to fall. Gravity is going to take over. Well, St. Joseph, the supernatural law is this. You glorify God, and God will glorify you. You glorify God, and God will glorify you. And how do we know this? Because all we have to do is look at St. Joseph's life, who not a word of his is recorded in Scripture. We only have a select number of scriptural passages that refer to him, and yet he is the saint among manly saints. He is, of all the saints, you've got Mary and Joseph who are the highest, and both of them, she was a mother and a wife, and he was a husband and father, which gives all fathers great hope.
As I'm reflecting on you saying the protector, he protected the family, and me as a father, that's also my job, right, is to protect and to provide for my family. And I think specifically, it's very easy to see this in the Holy Family, but he protected them from danger so they could fulfill God's mission. I think it's very easy for us to see that within the confines of Mary and Jesus. But when our own, within our own families, that's the same thing we're called to do. You know, our children, our wives, they've got a calling in their lives. God is calling them to do, calling them to greatness. And our job as fathers is to do what St. Joseph did, is to provide and protect for our family so that we can fulfill God's mission in life. And then secondly, and this is what St. Joseph obviously did as well, is he showed the love of God the Father to Jesus and Mary. And that is absolutely our call. I think it's, you know, it's obviously his father's. It's an unbelievably difficult task. And I reflect upon it every morning how am I supposed to do that? But if at the end of the day I've done that in some way, shape, or form, that's a good day.
You bet. Amen. That's right. And I think it's interesting what you're saying about the protecting and providing, because these two worlds of protecting and providing. So I'm called to be the good shepherd who lays down his life for my sheep, which is my family. So I'm called to be the protector. However, I think, this is just my personal opinion, but I think a greater enemy than even Satan himself, the accuser, greater enemy than the world for my children and my wife is me. Because if I am not living a virtuous life, if I'm involved in pornography, if I'm a lustful man, if I'm living for the world and greed and to get, you know, to get the accolades and the honors, I am the worst enemy to my family, because not only am I betraying them because I'm spending time doing everything else but my vocation, but also I'm teaching them how to live a life that's not worthy of God. And so it's very interesting. A lot of times what we men do, because we long for significance so much, we dive into the whole provision thing, and we reduce it down to providing material.
Yep.
So we work hard at the job 60, 80 hours a week. We're looking for the promotion. We're looking for the boss to give us the attaboy. We've got to have the nicer cars and the nicer house, and we've got to live in the future world of security to make sure we have enough. And meanwhile, we pass by our vocation. And so that very means of providing for my family actually bites at the very task to protect my family. And it's very interesting, because I think when we talk about the authority of the father and those three, I say there's three forms of charitable authority. That authority that's loving is to protect, to provide, but also to teach. And the best way that a father teaches is by example. And if he by providing for his family is not protecting, then he's not teaching. And this is extremely important for all of us to understand. You know, I've got to protect my family from myself.
You know, when I talk about fatherhood and marriage, you know, to me, the one characteristic of a great father and of a great wife, for that matter, but is selflessness. And so, yes, to your point, you can work really hard and make a lot of money, but if you're not sacrificing your inclination towards sin, as you mentioned, whether it's drugs, lust, pride, any of those things, if you're not sacrificing those and putting those behind you for the betterment of your family, you're not living out your call as a father. That's absolutely your children, especially, they're watching. So if they see you putting money and work and all these things above them, if they see you acting in ways that aren't of the gospel or aren't what we're supposed to be doing, they'll see that. So you can tell them, you can preach all day, go to church, do these things right, but if they see you not acting in accord with that, that's the message they're going to get. And
well,
so
and
I think St. Joseph obviously does a great job of living out the virtues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And actually, I love what you just said, because I think that actually we do more damage by actually teaching and professing and using the name of Jesus or using the name of God when we're not living it. I mean, that's Pharisaism, right? And that crushes. That's like, our worst enemy is the facade, the mask, the fakeness, that we betray our own authority when we do that. I just think that it really is so simple, you know, in a way, but it's so hard. What we do in our world is so overwhelming with all the demands, the responsibilities, the dictates, the satanic temptations that constantly assail us as men, as fathers. But I think that if we reduce it down to, I call it the five P's, but really, if you know your purpose, and the purpose is, you know, communion and union with God, ultimately heaven, the beatific vision, where we enter into this God, and he enters into us in such a way that it blows away any sexual intercourse, any orgasm, it blows away any high, any achievement or success in this world. It just blows away everything. That's what we're living for. And when that's our purpose, and we know that's our purpose, then we can begin to develop a plan. I believe St. Joseph has a plan, and we can talk about that in a minute. But
unfortunately, we can't, because we're going to come on a break. So I will say this. If you have any final thoughts on St. Joseph, we got about a minute and a half.
Okay. Basically, it's this. St. Joseph's got four pillars. Embrace silence, embrace woman, embrace the child, embrace charitable authority. That's the plan to live out your purpose. If a father does that, he will become great. The men that I know who live out this plan, their lives are changed.
Can you repeat those four again?
Embrace silence, embrace woman, embrace the child, and embrace charitable authority. And he lived all these, almost perfectly, if not perfectly.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. I would just reiterate, I guess, and end with the advice given to you of go home and be Joseph. And I think that is a really great model for us as men to live out. Mm-hmm. Devin Schott, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it was an honor. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Great Men of the Bible podcast. Please subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast to help us reach more listeners like you.